When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Pretty amazing that the college football playoff inaugural 12-team bracket, Pearl, kicks off in Notre Dame. I'm not like a big Notre Dame lover or hater for that matter, but an iconic stadium with a legendary football program, the ultimate blue blood of blue blood programs, and this is what we get to start this whole thing off in this new era is so cool. And even if you're a Notre Dame hater, to have Indiana come into Notre Dame and play in that stadium, and this is our first, like, getting the boat in the water on the playoffs, is beyond special. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, very cool. You know what's funny that strikes me about, like, the 12-team playoff, this is the most crazy, unlikely playoff teams. Like, no, Indiana, SMU, and Arizona State.
Boise State?
Boise State, we both predicted to be there. That's not as shocking, like, hey, show me a prediction that had Arizona State, SMU, or Indiana, and I would be beyond shocked.
Well, literally, Arizona State was picked last. They were picked to finish last in the pack in the Big 12, excuse me. SMU had to beg their way into the ACC, where they're not even getting paid out through the TV rights, I think, for the first couple of years. They had to make this concession. They were, you know, a drive away from winning the whole conference, and they get into this bracket. And it's just been awesome. And
amazing.
Indiana has been one of the great stories of the season with Kurt Cignetti coming over from James Madison.
Yeah, and I like what you said about the history of Notre Dame and the newness of the Indiana is a great clash. But it's going to be a lot of work for us, Mike, because we have to avoid family and watch football for the next better part of the next 10 days.
Oh, wait, did you ever get out of that party on Saturday?
Yes, I did get out of the party on Saturday. I did get out of it.
Party at the Grays.
Well, I actually got out of it because of a real issue that came up. So I didn't have to do any kind of karmic anything. It was a real issue that happened, and so.
But you're watching football on Saturday.
I'm going to be on my fat behind is going to be on that couch, Manny. Oh, it's going to be glorious. I'm not going to move. And I don't know about you guys. We'll make our picks in a second. The way that our couch is set up, it's an L shape. So you got two options. Either you take the corner and then you put your feet up on the ottoman, or you could just take the other part of the L and just lay down, just full. Like your head's kind of in the corner, and then your feet are down the side of the couch. Both are great options. I might kind of toggle in between the two.
Sounding comfortable in that palatial estate.
I didn't say it was palatial, but our couch is cool.
Drones fly over 24/7, but you got a great couch.
Yeah, be careful. We're not sure what's going on with the drones in suburban New Jersey. But if you want to come out and sit on the couch, we'll give you whatever you want. You want the arm? You want to lay out fully? Dealer's choice. Anyway, we got to make a pick here, our national champion pick. We're going to do some betting picks a little bit later on in the show. But before this thing kicks off tonight in South Bend, Indiana, Indiana coming to Notre Dame as the first game, let's pick a national champion, Pearl.
Yeah, so I'm going to go crazy here and pick the Vegas favorite, Oregon Ducks. And it's for two reasons. One, I can see all other 11 teams, I see a big flaw. I don't see it with Oregon. And second, I'm going to go, what can you trust the most in football? Quarterback play. And I think Dylan Gabriel feels like the most like solid bet of the crew of 12 teams. And obviously, they're the number one team. They've been the best team. Tez Johnson is unbelievable. He feels like he is a just skyrocketing up probably draft boards. It really is an indictment of the other 11 teams. I just don't see, in the era where NIL spread out all the talent, it feels like Oregon has stayed above that and feels like a kind of an old school elite team. I know their bracket's maybe a little bit harder than the bottom half of the bracket. I just feel really good that this could be the Ducks' year.
Listen, you're going to go with the number one seed and the undefeated team. I'm not going to blame you. And Oregon has looked very good, but I am going to go with Georgia, not Oregon. Mm. And here's why. It's all about schedule. You're Mr. Schedule, too. I'm surprised you're not going to this.
Right.
It's all about how this bracket laid out. And I was really passionate, I thought, in my defense of Oregon because I thought they got really hosed by this bracket. You are the number one overall seed. You're the only team to come out of this gauntlet undefeated. So congratulations. You get the winner of Tennessee, Ohio State.
Why is that so terrifying, though?
Well, because I think on paper, these are two teams at the top of Power Two conferences that are the two most respected conferences in the country. And so it didn't feel like much of a, like, reward, if you will, for getting that number one overall seed. So for me, I watched Ohio State and Oregon play in Autzen Stadium.
Yeah.
And that basically came down to Dan Lanning having like a brilliant moment as a head coach and Ohio State kind of blowing it.
Yeah, and not calling that offensive pass interference on Jeremiah Smith changed the game. I mean, that was the game, basically.
A home call that will not go your way when this is being played at the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, but how do you have faith in an Ohio State team who just got their butts kicked by Michigan?
Well,
it's really hard.
It is very hard. I think by the way, I'm not even saying Ohio State might be the opponent. This could be Tennessee, which is also
going to
be.
And Tennessee does not scare me, too. Like, Tennessee's not going to pass with Oregon. Like, I've not seen anything in Tennessee that says they're as good a team.
Well, but their defense is really good. And here's the thing about this next matchup. So you're telling me that whether it's Oregon or, excuse me, Ohio State or Tennessee, I just think that's so much harder than Georgia having to take on the winner of Indiana, Notre Dame. And then if I, you know, play this out, it's going to be either SMU or Penn State taking on Boise, and I think Georgia will beat all three of those teams.
What worries me about Georgia, you saw the Georgia Tech game. Like, they're built to beat Texas. Like, Texas is not going to just steamroll you with a running game. Georgia, Riley Leonard will run for 100 yards against that team. And even if Drew Aller can run a little bit, and Kevin Jennings can run a little bit, and if they get Ashton Gentry, like, I just don't think that they're a defense like they usually are. I think you can run on them, and you can actually out-physical them.
I mean, that's an indictment.
I mean, the Georgia Tech game that they should have definitely lost. There is no doubt that they should have lost that game.
Seven overtimes, was it? Eight?
Yeah,
I forgot.
But Georgia Tech blew a crazy lead at the end.
They fumbled that gave Georgia Tech the chance to tie the game.
Yeah, I mean, they had a 10% win probability. So they should have lost that game. They were just, their defense is nothing like the old Georgia teams. I don't even know who it is. And you look at their side of the bracket, there are teams that really can run the ball. Penn State will come at you, and so can SMU. It's going to be, I don't think it's as easy as you think. I mean, you're right. Ohio State makes me nervous on that top side of the bracket. They definitely do, but I think Georgia has every reason to be nervous.
Here's the thing about Ohio State. This is going to have to be a masterclass by the coaching staff to regroup after that loss to Michigan and get yourself ready to play. Because let's try to just take ourselves back in a time machine a couple weeks ago. After that Michigan loss, I mean, it was disaster. It felt like just the bottom fell out of the program because Michigan is down this year. You had a home game at the Horseshoe, and they fumbled and, you know, pun intended, every part of this. And so do you believe that Ryan Day is going to have them ready to go and back up again and playing with any kind of confidence?
None of that matters. To have them ready to go, if Chip Kelly does not throw the ball to Jeremiah Smith, then I'm not saying there should be violence, but fans should storm that little box up there.
We already saw
and
that.
Gently push him to the side and just call pass plays to Jeremiah Smith and then hit Igbuka. Just pass the football. Do not run for 1 yard on every single first down of the game. This is going to kill you. Like, they are so talented. Jeremiah Smith, and Ryan Williams is great too, but I've never seen a freshman receiver like this in my whole life. Why he's not getting the ball on every play it's unbelievable.
855-212-4227, your national champion championship picks. We're picking the champion right now. Perloff just won with Oregon. I'm going with Georgia. We picked 1 and 2. Wow, what a big limb we just all went out on. But anyway, you can crush us if we're going a little chalk. We will make betting picks a little bit later on the show, and Nick Kostos is going to join us in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
From this, You Better You Bet.
But, you know, back to your original point, this is so thrilling, and the next round's going to be even better. Although, it would be cool if they were on home field. We're doing picks. I want to pick one of the non-playoff games, one of the bowl games. And I'll tell you why. Because I've talked myself into both sides of all these games. Like, the scenarios, because a lot of teams have had rest, too. Like, college football at this level is really unpredictable. We've never seen a 12-team playoff. Like, Oregon's got to wait a while. We do not know what impact it's going to have or an uncharted territory.
Yeah, it makes me lean towards some unders. If, like, teams have been off for a little bit or maybe a little bit nervous, you know, something that. By the way, just looking at the way this bracket sets up, and I can, like, feel our listeners in Boise just screaming at the radio. If Boise State makes it to the national title game, you guys know I love Travis Hunter, and I thought that was the right choice for the Heisman, but is it going to look even worse? Is it going to look bad, rather?
Oh, I don't think so.
If Boise makes it to the title game, when it's obvious who the star is, and it's going to be like, wait a minute, he didn't win the Heisman?
Yeah, or what if Dylan Gabriel just goes to town in these coming games? And yeah, but I don't think so. I know exactly what you're saying. But Travis Hunter, as you pointed out, is just unique.
855-212-4227.
And by the way, Boise fans would definitely take that as a consolation prize.
No doubt. Yeah, get to the title game. Oof, I mean, Boise's already on the map, but that just defines your program in a whole new way.
Whatever team is about to take Ashton Gentry at the 11th pick wants him to go out early in this playoff so he doesn't have wear and tear. That guy's going to be a pro for sure.
Most definitely. Okay, we've been counting down the top moments of the Maggie and Perloff show throughout 2024. We're up to number 4 on the list. Set it up for you. It's become a bit of a tradition around here. Perloff's Halloween costumes. You are a 1980s.
Or 90s. Or really 70s. I am a football coach. I wear the classic bike short football coach shorts, which are always a little undersized.
A little. And congratulations again on second year in a row, your costume being a clear HR violation.
See, that's what's wrong with the society today. In 1983, the offensive line coach of the Cardinals could wear whatever he wanted, but now I can't wear football shorts.
Just feel bad for Bogish because I know he's getting it somehow today. Those shorts are, I've seen bathing suits bigger than that.
Yeah. That was very wise of me. It is totally a double standard now. Back when I was a kid, people could look like the skipper from Gilligan's Island and wear short shorts. And now everybody judges you just because you can sort of see the outline of your private parts curved to the left.
We had to pixelate our photo.
The third year in a row.
We have to blur out.
Long one.
Thank you. Yes, our Halloween photo, just, you know, us in costume, has to come with a not safe for work warning on it. All because of you.
Hide it from the bosses.
Yes. We have to hide Perloff from the bosses for an entire day.
Yeah, we had to put him in a trench coat just before he got to the studio.
Not suspicious at all.
You know, this is actually, you guys are setting a high bar. Now I have to go even, like, get tighter and tighter every year.
Lucky
guys
us.
Got a set on him.
Bose is going to have a panic attack here and there.
Somehow it always ends up with Perloff kind of creeping behind Bogish in always memorable photos. Oh, here he comes again.
Yeah, because when you're looking at a coworker's computer, sometimes you have to put your knee up on the chair they're sitting on just to get a better view.
You always do that. I'm going to try to do theater of the mind here. This is what it reminds me of. You are wearing the football coach outfit. Gym teachers, to me, always do this. They're always putting their leg up on the...
Oh,
when they're explaining the rules of, you know, handball or whatever you're about to play.
Mm.
That's what Perloff does to Bogish, no matter what the costume is.
Yeah, super thankful that you guys brought this back up. I've been working really hard to get past not one, but two Halloween attacks. So I'm really happy to hear it again this morning and have all that angst come flooding back in.
I thought you said you're working hard towards getting something reprimanded. I thought you were working hard with HR, maybe.
Yeah.
That's what I thought you were
going to say. I can't speak about that publicly.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. That's all confidential. No, I think it's something like that, like something that costs you like $150 an hour. That's sorry, 45 minutes. You don't even get an hour now.
Oh, my goodness. A lot of Odyssey coins exchanging
hands. I was talking
hands.
About therapy, Manny. What do you think I was talking about?
Is that what therapy costs now? Isn't it more than that?
Oh, probably.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Andrew.
You're not.
No, I'm not.
It's just such an amazing pull that Perloff goes back in 1984. The Arizona Cardinals offensive line coach could wear whatever he wants. Like, now he's so oppressed.
Pretty sure the Arizona Cardinals were in the St. Louis at that time. Still short, still tight, though.
Actually, if you Google 1970s coaches, it's a glorious look. There's this picture of the Washington coaches. They're all four overweight, all four wearing short shorts. And the thing is, the shirt, too, it's got to, the belly's got to come over the shorts.
Everything tucked in back then.
By the way, not everything.
Andrew, I'm showing you. Here's a preview of the 2025.
I've seen Jim Hufnagels.
His Hufnagels?
Yeah.
I'm sending a preview of my 2025 Halloween costume to Bogus now.
You wish. You know what? If you could wear that, go ahead.
You know, nobody was working harder than the button on those pants. Great. For all those coaches. Forget all that grinding tape. That button was working hard.
Oh, yeah. I am going to go on a diet right now so I can pull off Greg Louganis 25. That's the project. The weight loss project.
Perloff's basically showing the most ripped Adonis looking athlete in a Speedo. So good luck with all that.
And I'll say this out loud and I mean it. If you can get yourself in that kind of shape, I'll buy you the Speedo.
You just walk in every day, Perloff's doing crunches. Yeah. I don't see it.
Oh, I would rather. There's no bet. You know, the worst bet is you have to shave off an eyebrow if you lose the bet. That stinks like a fantasy football thing. I will never wear a Speedo and nothing else. I just can't.
We're not asking you to. Good. So, good. That aligns with all of our values. Yeah.
Even Speedo would prefer you not to.
Speedo's like,
yeah, we're good.
Now we need you to blur out the ad.
Phew.
It's like the opposite of when Michael Jordan covered up the Adidas sign when he won the gold medal. Speedo's like,
actually, you know what?
It's all right.
I did do a Speedo picture at Dan Patrick's show. I was at our calendar. Do you guys remember this?
No.
Give us ideas, though.
Oh, wait, now I do. It's coming back.
No, I can't do it. This took me a lot of work and didn't look great.
Very few carbs. Well, that's it. That was number four on the list. Perloff's not safe for work Halloween costumes as we're counting down the top moments of the Maggie and Perloff show in 2024. Coming up next, let's win some money. Nick Kostos of You Better You Bet will join us.
All right, we're back on Maggie and Perloff. Got a little Twitter beef last night with this strange Giants fan, Maggie, as usual.
We didn't get into an argument.
No, not strange Giants fan. Anytime I see something anti-Giants, there's one person that comes to mind. Nick Kostos. I mean, you know how the NFC East works, Maggie.
Yeah,
it's
this
like
is
you're
a
the
Giants
NFC.
Eagles thing.
Giants Eagles. We both hate the Cowboys, but it goes back a long time. And like, I think Nick is awesome. He's super cool, but I just can never forgive him for that or be friends with him.
What happened last night? The teams weren't even playing. One of the teams isn't even relevant. Sorry, Nick. I mean, I'm not trying to pile on. I'm just saying. What can you guys possibly
it was
be? Welcome, Nick. By the way,
14th anniversary. Yeah. Welcome, Nick Kostos. 14th anniversary of DeSean Jackson's punt return for a touchdown to beat the Giants.
I was there for that.
Yeah, I don't think you're cool, and I would never be your friend anyway.
Fair.
Yeah, as far
Merry Christmas.
Thanks for having me. And Merry Christmas. And I mean this sincerely. You guys are the best. Thank you very much. The punt return, the DeSean Jackson play, I'm being serious. Like, it stunk, obviously, as a Giants fan, but you got to understand, man, I felt like as a Giants fan when they won Super Bowl 42 against the Patriots, I felt like I broke out of Shawshank. I can live to be as old as Methuselah. Look him up. It's a good reference. And I will never have as good a win in my sports fan life as that win, beating the undefeated Patriots in the Super Bowl. I basked in the glory of that win for years after the fact.
And you got another one, too.
And I got another one, and it took a long time for me to start getting upset again about what's happened with the Giants. And honestly, even still, I don't know how I can ever complain, really, as a I can you know, be upset with the way the team is being run. But, I mean, 2007 and 2011, 2007 was all I ever needed as a sports fan. And any of the teams I root for was to win that game. Is Bogus with you guys today?
Yeah,
I watched that game.
Yes.
Yeah. I watched that game at his apartment. he can tell you that this is true, what I'm saying. Like, that's all I ever needed was to win that game. So the DeSean Jackson punt return sucked, but it came after, like, the greatest moment for me as a sports
fan. I think you stripped down naked and ran through New York City, I thought was the story. Yeah. But, you know, here's the thing, Nick, and we're going to get to the bets in a second. Teams take advantage of that. Because you're saying your greatest moment happened. How could you ever be upset with the franchise? They've been a laughingstock for creeping up on a decade.
Oh, yeah.
And then
no question.
Cubs fans, I think, feel the same way about this. I think there's some Red Sox fans, maybe future Patriot fans who might feel this way because they've done so much winning. You know, I think Pittsburgh Steeler fans, you know, you have all these Lombardi trophies, and so it's hard to get fully upset with the team for not winning.
But I don't think teams don't take advantage of it, though. I think this is Yankees are different. We don't have to get into that. But I don't think this is teams taking advantage. I think this is just, it's like the fan condition. Like the Giants didn't make me feel that way. Like I feel that way.
Yeah.
Super Bowl 42. Again, I could live to be 10,000 years old. And I don't think I will ever get a better fan moment than that one. I don't think it's possible. So, you know,
the Sean Jackson play
was a couple years later. Yeah. So how am I really going to get that upset about it?
You have to understand, Nick, we're speaking a different language because we've experienced winning a Super Bowl.
Right.
Maggie is a Bills fan. She has no idea what it's like. So how could she even relate?
Yeah, and it's not going to happen this year either, so unfortunately. Yeah,
did tweet me, you're like, remember Super Bowl 42? You got to put the year. Nobody knows like which Super Bowl is which Super Bowl based on the number.
Great. I'm going to give everyone a quick math lesson here. So Super Bowl I is 1965. That's how you do it. So 42 would be 2007. That's how you think of it, right? So 1995. So Super Bowl 30 was played in 1995, for example. And just use that as a handy key moving forward, but you'll be able to get all of this right.
What if it's Roman numerals? That adds another layer of challenge.
I've eliminated the Roman numerals for you. What do you mean Roman numerals? I just told you how to do it. Roman numerals.
True story. I was once reading off a teleprompter and someone put in something that I had not seen before and they put Roman numerals in and I was on live TV and I just had to wildly guess and it was wrong. It was wildly wrong.
Honestly, if it had been me, I would have called I would have been like, you know what? Someone on the teleprompter put Roman numerals and I don't know how to read that.
No,
sorry, everybody.
Yeah. I take one for the team on that one. All right, let's get to some betting.
No way. Never.
Let's get to some betting. Nick Kostos is the host of You Better You Bet. It's absolutely one of our favorite shows. We love you and Femi. You do a great job. Let's talk college football playoff. I'm just seeing tweets now from people in South Bend, Indiana. Light snowfall. Mm. Cars are already lining up to get into campus and get to the stadium. It's going to be special. Nick, what do you see for tonight's game, Notre Dame hosting Indiana?
So I want to always offer the perspective of, like, you know, we've had a lot of great guests on the show this week, professional bettors, people that analyze college football and are in the weeds. It feels like people are pretty split on the total of the game. I've heard people come on my show and people I've spoken to like the over in the game. I've had people come on and like the under in the game, citing the weather as a potential example. Why? My bet in this game, and the only game that I really, really like from a betting perspective in the playoff, is Tennessee, Ohio State tomorrow night. So look, like, I'm going to bet the games, bet responsibly, of course, because I want action on the games. These will be smaller bets compared to even like my NFL bets for tomorrow. So, you know, it's the first round of something that we've never seen before. You know, when we enter like the NBA playoffs or the NFL playoffs, we have so many years of data to go off of and say, you know, like the champion kind of fits a certain statistical profile or the runner up fits a certain statistical profile. We have 0.0 data points on this. It's never happened before. So at FCS, for example, right? We generally see where home teams will host playoff games. We see the home teams dominate, drop 50 burgers. Like they destroy opponents in the first round of the FCF playoffs. So is that more likely to happen here? Or is it, you know, you look at the four coaches that are favored in the first round and you want to go against them because they may not be great big game head coaches as far as winning by margin. In tonight's game, that's how I'm going to opt to play it. I bet Indiana +7.5. We're currently hanging out like Notre Dame in between 7 and 7.5. So the number at BetMGM is Notre Dame -7. I don't know if that's a great bet on Indiana. I wanted to get more than a touchdown. I like betting against Marcus Freeman as a favorite in a big game. So I'll take the points with Indiana. It is not one of my favorite bets this weekend, but I did bet Indiana. I'm on the Hoosiers tonight +7.5.
Why is the spread so big on Clemson, Texas? Now Texas -12. Feels like a lot of experts are saying Clemson's got a real shot here, but it's the biggest point spread by far here.
Well, I think Clemson is like the lowest power rated team in the playoff, lower than SMU. Texas is obviously like almost won the SEC, and Texas is the home team. So that's how you get to this, right? So Texas gets, but not a neutral site game. Texas gets bumped up for home field, obviously. And, you know, to be fair, the betting market has been on Texas here. You know, this was 11 a couple days ago, and we're not, think about like 11 and 12 are not numbers that games often land. So it's not like 13 is an important number, more important number than these, right? But still, you know, Texas is getting bet right now on 12.5 currently is the number at BetMGM. The reason why I think some people are going to like Clemson in this game, Perloff, is because lack of confidence in Quinn Ewers. Yeah. And the thought that Arch Manning is just flat out better than Quinn Ewers. And for some reason, like Sark loves Ewers, and Ewers at least is going to start the game. My thought is if Ewers struggles early, I think Arch Manning's going to come in. I don't think Sark can mess around here and afford to get bounced in the first rounds of the playoff. I do like Clemson plus the points, Clemson to keep the game close. Not one of my favorite bets of the weekend again, but I will have a ticket on Clemson betting against Sark as a big favorite, I think is something I would like to do, especially with Dabo.
Nick Kostos is here, the host of You Better You Bet. All right, so it seems like what you like for the weekend is more around the Tennessee-Ohio State game. Am I reading that right? Okay, so tell us what you love about that game.
Yeah, I love Tennessee, plus 7.5. You know, we experience this phenomenon in sports a lot. We rarely see it in college football or ever because there's no home playoff games, right, until this year. But y'all just create a scenario for people. It doesn't have to go like this, but, you know, what if it does? You know, tomorrow night, Ohio State goes 3-and-out on the opening possession. Let's say Tennessee kicks a field goal, but scores a touchdown. Or just things early are a little nervy. You know, the last time Ohio State played a home game, they lost to Michigan. Everyone's ready to bury and fire the head coach, Ryan Day. Like, what do people think that crowd's going to be like? This is like a Yankee World Series game where, you know, the side gets struck out in the first inning and the crowd starts booing or sitting on its hands early. I don't know if the crowd's going to turn on Ohio State. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But I think it could become an uncomfortable atmosphere. Now, Tennessee's defense, the defensive front, is like, it's not NFL quality that they're not all going to play in the NFL, but it's really, really, really good. And the Josh Heupel offense is unlike anything Ohio State has seen this year. And I don't think I'm alone in saying, I don't think Ryan Day is a great coach. Now, like, he's not a bad coach, obviously, but I don't know if he's as good a coach as Heupel or some of these other coaches in the college football playoff. So with the number being above 7, 7.5, that's an easy bet for me on the Vols, no matter what happens in the game, whether the bet wins or loses. That's my favorite bet of the four coming up in the playoff, Tennessee plus the points tomorrow night.
All right, shifting in the NFL, Patrick Mahomes is going to play, obviously. Are you factoring his health into this Texans game? It's Kansas City, -3.5, total at 42.5. How did the Chiefs approach this?
Yeah, so I bet Kansas City 3 the other day. We talked about it on You Bet or You Bet at the time. Just because, you know, Mahomes is practicing. He's Wolverine. He's probably going to play. So, I mean, yeah, everyone says he's Thanos. He's another Marvel character. Like, he's Wolverine. His healing ability is incredible. And we see Justin Herbert's playing on a high ankle sprain right now. Like, it's not impossible for quarterbacks to play on a high ankle sprain. So I felt like when the number was 3, it was a valuable bet on Kansas City. Now we're sitting at 3.5. It becomes a little iffier for me at this point. I will say I am really down on the Texans. They are a playoff team. They already won the AFC South. I think a pretty fraudulent 9-5, boosted by a terrible division. The offensive coordinator, I think, is a total clown. Like, is an analytics darling because he used to work at PFF. Bobby Slowick, who's atrocious. CJ Stroud has regressed in year 2. We still love him. Like, he's really good. He's not as good as he was last year. The offense isn't as good as it was last year. So at 3.5, I mean, I can't, like, tell people, wow, go lay 3.5. I laid 3, so hopefully people heard the show and they did that. At 3.5, I think it's probably a no bet. Or, you know, put Kansas City money line in with some other things that you like this weekend. I do think the Chiefs will win the game.
Nick Kostos joining us from You Better You Bet, going through some of the games this weekend from the betting perspective. I got burned so hard last week against the Steelers, Nick, and you called it. I said, man, 5.5 against Philly. They're just begging you to take the points. And you go, well, then you should fade it. You know, you should, if it seems fishy, then don't do it. And here we are again. Steelers on the road to face the Ravens. Steelers getting 6.5. Lamar Jackson with that 2-5 record against Pittsburgh. I'm so tempted, but I got burned last week by the Steelers, so I don't know if I can go down that road again.
So let me ask you guys, do you think, just like anecdotally, do you think people are out on the Steelers now after what happened last week and George Pickens isn't playing? So do you feel like people would be more apt to like bet Baltimore in this game than Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Definitely. Even though TJ Watt's playing, but yes.
Yeah, I like the Steelers at this number, +6.5. I think I said with you guys last week, you know, George Pickens being out is a huge deal. And they got away with it a couple weeks ago against the Browns. And they probably shouldn't have, but they got away with it. And then they were exposed last week as not having like a real downfield passing game without Pickens. I felt like the Pickens thing was not factored in enough or talked about enough last week. And then the game happens and everyone's like, whoa. Like this offense passing game can't function without him. Now I actually think it's gone a little too far here. We are dealing with really fine margins here. So I can give like a point spread analysis and then like a game analysis. My point spread analysis is that the spread's a little too high right now. I think there's value betting the Steelers +6.5. At six, I don't even know if I like that as far as best math bets. I'm saying Pittsburgh +6.5 is a bet for me. Now we talk about the game, right? Whether you're a Steelers fan, Ravens fan, whatever, the Steelers have the mental edge over Lamar Jackson. Lamar comes up small in these spots. Don't believe me? Ask him. He will tell anyone with a microphone and a camera. He loves to talk about it. It's one of the reasons why we love him, seriously. He's so honest all the time. He knows that he plays poorly in these spots. He knows that he plays poorly against the Steelers. And I'll take this a step further. And I'm somebody. I laid Ravens -3 when these two teams played, like 5-6 weeks ago. Terrible, terrible loss for the Ravens, and worse, screw them, worse for me. can I ask a real question here? And what, you know, it's a Steelers-Ravens game in December. It's almost Christmas. Special teams may come into play. Which kicker do you trust more in the game, Chris Boswell or Justin Tucker?
Boswell.
You never thought, even, you know, when would you ever answer Chris Boswell? Anyone other than Justin Tucker is the answer to that question. So, again, if we're dealing with fine margins with the point spread, division rivals, one team has had the edge over the other quarterback, I think things like this matter. So I'm presenting a really strong case here for Pittsburgh. The Ravens can blow them out. Like, Baltimore is better than Pittsburgh. So I'm not trying to make this as, like, go, like, bet the farm on the Steelers. That's not what I'm saying. But I do think there is value on the Steelers. I have made that bet +6.5.
All right. This isn't even a question. I think the Jets are going to beat the Rams. Am I crazy? I just remember that last year when the Rams came east at the end of the year, and the Rams have all this momentum coming in. I think, and I like the Rams. I'm going to be honest, like, they're one of my favorite teams. I want to see them get to the playoffs and be dangerous. This feels like a terrible, terrible spot.
Do you remember what happened the last time the Rams played the Jets, by the way? So you guys like stuff like this. This was the Jets dogs by like 17.5 with Adam Gase at the end of his Jets career and won outright to cost themselves the number one overall pick.
Oh, that was that game? Oh my God.
I was doing New York radio at the time it came on and said it's the worst win in the history of the Jets organization.
and you know what? You're probably right about it because here's Zach Wilson. It said, not that Trevor Lawrence has lit the world on fire, but I mean, he's definitely better than Zach Wilson. So I'm pretty fascinated by the line movement in this game. So line opens last Sunday. I bet the Rams. I laid 3. Point spread immediately goes up to 3.5 on Tuesday, I think, or maybe even Monday night. And I'm thinking, whoa, like I'm peacocking a little bit. Like my show is right now. I'm peacocking a little bit, right? I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna beat the market here. Rams up to 3.5. And as the week has gone on, the Jets have started to get bet. And I actually think, and I can, I'm gonna look right now. Because I was on the college football tab. So let's see. I think we are down at BetMGM. We are at 3. So we're back down to where we originally started, which makes me a little nervous. I like when the betting market agrees with me. Now we're just, this is the bet that I placed. I do like the Rams in the game. Jets played well last week. They beat the Jaguars. Great. Jacksonville's terrible. I think the Rams are going to the playoffs. I think the Rams are going to win the NFC West. I think the Rams are dangerous. I like the Rams coming up on Sunday, laying the 3. So on Sunday at MetLife Stadium, I'll bet the team that's got everybody saying, L.A. Rams. Yeah, give me the Rams.
All right, Nick, every week, and by the way, we should mention, congratulations to you and Femi on the new Peacock deal.
Awesome,
we're so excited that there's another place to watch you guys. It's fantastic. We're going to say it at the end of the segment anyway, but you mentioned it, and we're just thrilled for you. Like, honestly, this is awesome, and it's good. You guys are going to crush.
Thank you.
We ask you every week for an upset pick.
It won last week, by the way.
You've been on a heater with this one.
It's been good. Yeah, it's been good.
We cue the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire music.
Yeah, let's get it up.
To put the pressure on. Nick Costos, okay, upset pick of the week. It could be college or pro, by the way.
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll stick in the NFL.
Okay.
I don't really love any. So the Saints are not beating the Packers. Like the Bucs are going to kill the Cowboys, Jaguars, Raiders, whatever. The Patriots are not going to beat the Bills. I don't like the Seahawks to beat the Vikings. I like the Cardinals. I like the Eagles. All right, I'll give you one. I don't love this one, but I'll give an upset pick. I bet Titans +4.5 on Monday, with the thought being that Will Levis was going to get benched. He was, of course, because you can't watch that game on Sunday and think Levis is playing again. So I guess it's not that Mason Rudolph's awesome, but he's not Will Levis. He's not going to give the game away. So Tennessee's +3.5 right now at Indianapolis. I like the Titans plus the points, which means I have to think the Titans have a chance to win the game. So let's go for the upset special this week. Titans to win outright on the road at Anthony Richardson and the Indianapolis Colts.
Mm.
There you go. Can I ask Nick Costos a non-betting question from earlier this week?
Always.
Because I want to know where Nick falls on this. I had to get myself out of a holiday commitment. And I had this earlier.
What was the commitment?
I had to get myself out of a party.
What kind of party? Like who's, like, I need more context.
Okay. Well, it doesn't matter now because I actually have a real excuse to get out of it. So it ended up kind of like the universe kind of did some tricks. But this was the question I was posing. So good friend, college friend, obviously I'm friends with the wife, but we're all friends together, you know, everyone's friends. They host a holiday party. Really, it's just been too much. Just can't go, right? I don't want to use the excuse, though, of someone being sick, because I think that's bad juju and bad karma to say, oh, I'm sick, my kid's sick, my husband's sick. I don't want anyone to be sick, and I don't like using that as an excuse. So I was asking these guys to help me come up with some kind of excuse. Anyway, what the argument boiled down to is, when you lie, do you do more details or do you keep it very vague? Like, what's the better way to tell a lie?
I think it depends on the lie you're trying to tell. In this instance, you want it to be vague. You're telling it to a friend who's probably going to assume you're lying if there's too many details because they know you.
Yeah.
So I think in this instance, you have to keep it vague. But I wish you would just ask me this question. Just tell them it's too much and you can't go.
I don't think that will fly, Nick.
Then that person's not that good of friends.
No, they are. I just think
No, they're not. No, because you, Maggie, you have at least one kid, right? That I'm aware.
Yes. You have a kid, right? Yeah, I'm not hiding any kids from you.
I know. All I'm saying is I know you had one kid for sure. I don't know if you had more than one.
I've got one.
You have a kid. You host a national morning show.
Right.
Like, it should be okay if you say to someone, like, I've got too much going on in my life right now. I wish I could make it. I love you. I'll be there next year. I can't make it this year. And if that person has a problem with it, it's their fault. Like, sorry.
Yeah.
I don't even think you need to lie. Just tell the truth.
See, Nick, this is where you're wrong about this, because maybe this is a woman-man thing. My friend, high-power TV executive, husband, high-power lawyer. They've got 3 kids, and they're hosting the party.
Great. Good for them.
I can't say it's too much for me when they're ones who are doing
why do you,
all, they're
why
doing
do you
more.
Have to, no, that, no, that's, no, I'm going to defend you here. No, that's nonsense. No, you don't compare yourself to somebody else. If it's too much for you, it's too much for you. And that's the end of it. And if they don't like it, like, screw them.
Nick, you have no idea what you're working with here. She's a walking Curb Your Enthusiasm. I've seen her tell white lies for necessary reasons. She adds details that
just tell the truth.
The truth is the easiest thing to remember, right? You're a truth teller.
Look, I'm 41. Like, if people don't like the truth, we're not like 20 anymore. We don't have to lie about stuff. Like, you're an adult. Like, you got a lot going on in your life. Sorry, I can't make it this year.
Yeah.
I'm being serious. They don't like it. Like, I don't think that person's a good friend.
No. And
also, if it's a television executive, like, I'll come to your party.
Here's the thing. If they're listening, by the way, it's a real reason why we do have to miss the party. There was always a small chance that I put this on the air and it would actually get back to them. But the other part is that this is, I think it's more adult to actually lie.
No.
I'm saving their feelings.
What are you talking about?
I'm maneuvering my way out of this to try to.
You're like you're living in like and you're in like the high school cafeteria, right? What are you talking about?
You know what? I need Nick to.
This isn't like a sports argument. This is an open and shut case. Perloff's just sitting there with like Atlas with his hand on his chin. You agree with me, buddy, or no?
100%. But you were lying when you said I wasn't cool earlier in the segment, right? That was like a fib.
Well, I mean, it depends on what, like, you're, like, I think you're cool, but, like, the average definition of cool, I would say you're probably falling a little short.
Wow, Nick. Well, fair. Merry Christmas. I need Nick to be...
look at me. I got all these tattoos, and I'm still not cool, so, I mean, I'm in the same boat.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
There you go.
We're not
those
cool
tattoos are working hard.
Yeah. We're not cool in the best possible way.
You know what?
That's right.
I need Nick
look
to
look at my background. I got all these video game things. You think I'm good? I'm an Ultimate Warrior action figure. You think I'm cool?
I need Nick to be my, like, translator. You know, if I could have Nick around, it's like, this is my...
Just tell the truth.
This is my... Nick, you live in Staten Island. Are you from Staten Island?
No.
Okay. Well, Nick is my New York, like, bully who can just tell people the truth on my behalf. No, she doesn't want to go.
But the thing is, like, it has nothing to do with, like, bullying someone or being a jerk about it. I think you're being kind by telling the person the truth. And that person who is your friend should in turn be kind to you and say, no problem, I understand.
Man, you guys don't know women at all. Nick, thank you. We're out of time. Merry Christmas and congrats again to you and Femi on the new show on Peacock. We're so excited for you guys.
I was going to say that I'm married. I do understand women, but that would be a total lie.
Yeah, you don't. You do not.
Merry Christmas. Minimal Sweats, Winnie Betts, the absolute very best of luck. Perloff, I love you.
Love you, dude.
Now that's a lie. All right, M&P, we're counting down our best moments from 2024. Number 3 comes your way next.
That was awesome.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Andrew Bogish is here with us with headlines. If you missed our interview with Nick Kostos, who joins us every Friday to help win us some money, you can find the Maggie and Perloff podcast, or you can hit the rewind function on the Odyssey app. We still have number 3 on our list of top moments of the Maggie and Perloff show in 2024. We'll do that after these headlines.
Mom, Dad headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com.
Don't look at me, please.
Cameron Dicker now holds the all-time record for most yards kicked on a fair catch free kick. Jim Harbaugh showing why he's the 9-time coach of the year, going deep into the rule book to close the first half of Thursday Night Football.
It's my favorite rule in football. And just been...
trying to get one of those like every game, you know.
In case you didn't know, you are allowed to try a field goal after any fair catch, but it almost never makes sense to do so, but it did last night when the Broncos were called for fair catch interference on a last-second punt, giving the Chargers an untimed down from the Denver 47. Dicker made the kick. Then the Chargers scored 3 second-half touchdowns to steal a 34-27 victory from the Broncos. Harbaugh tried one of these kicks, apparently, when he was the Niners head coach. The last one any team tried was in 2019. The last made one in 1976 by the Chargers as well. Now, the loss keeps the Broncos from clinching a playoff spot. Bo Nix's offense found the end zone on its first 3 possessions last night, then managed just 2 second-half field goals.
No excuse. We got to move the ball better, and you know, we had opportunities. Our defense got us the ball back several times, and you know, just a few short drives.
The Broncos punting on 5 of 6 possessions at one point. That included 3 3 and outs. Victor Wembanyama being a bust again last night.
In over the line with Draisaitl.
126-125 Atlanta. CP3 back. Wemby a deep three.
I'm the bust anchor hitting the wrong button.
Wemby, like, was that some kind of record scratch?
42 points, 7 threes, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, and 4 blocks in the Spurs 133-126 OT win over the Hawks last night. Apparently, no one's ever had that combination of threes, rebounds, assists, and blocks ever before.
So, he really does want to be Kevin Durant, doesn't he? It's unbelievable. Oof. Like, that dude, he's like me. He won't go anywhere near the rim, which is weird at 7'5". I mean, he does, but, like, he wants to be outside.
I mean, he dunked on 2 different people last night. One time throwing it off the backboard to himself. But, when, I mean, he's catching in rhythm, shooting, like, 30-foot threes at 7'5".
What is his percentage, though, from 3?
Oh, he's still doing this? He can't shoot? Come on, bro. Can we get that?
What is his percentage? Well, no, seriously, what is his percentage?
Okay, while you find that, I'm going to also tell everybody, including our audience, that refuses to believe that Perloff is ever going to actually drive to San Antonio to pay off this bet of apologizing to Victor Wembanyama. Now that we have the all clear on Greg Popovich, we will resume planning for the road trip. Yeah. We thought it would be in poor taste to ask the Spurs for what is going to be some not goofy, insignificant access to do something really silly while their head coach was dealing with a serious health issue. So we put that on the back burner. Now it's full steam ahead.
Yeah. You're still not going. I don't trust you.
Man. Does that mean you don't want to go with me anymore?
I haven't wanted to go with you for months at this point.
By the way, the Spurs are 14-13, so I can't even say they're not winning with this Wemby outside shooting.
Wembanyama is shooting 34% from outside this season.
Do you really want your 7'5 guy outside, Maggie?
Listen.
It's not a problem most of us have ever had.
If one more person asked me that today, I don't have an answer.
You're 9-time MVP.
You didn't know he's the 9-time MVP? This is the Hallmark movie.
No, should I?
Based on Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. 9-time MVP. Diane Orsini joins us next.
9-time MVP.